LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com.
All right, here we go, everyone. It's Monday yet again. Let's build that energy. Reverend James, hit the music.
Welcome to Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, exploring the magical world around us only on the LMC Radio Network. There are so many fantastic, exciting, and curious things that make up this world we share. Come join us as we explore the spiritual, magical, and wondrous phenomena that enrich our souls and bring color to our days. I am your announcer, Reverend James of FolkConjure.com, located in Western North Carolina. This week, I'm joining Reverend Art as we discuss the importance of preserving folk traditions. In just a moment, we'll be joined by our host, Reverend Art of FolkConjure.com in North Carolina. Make sure you're logged into Blog Talk Radio and join in the discussion via the chat. Now let's catch up with our host. Reverend Art, take it away.
Thank you, Reverend James, and welcome everyone yet again to Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places. As always, here we are. It's Monday yet again, and Monday does mean it's Magic Mondays on Hoodoo Psychics. Go on over to the Hoodoo Psychics Facebook page, find the Magic Mondays post for today, like it, comment on it, and get entered to win your opportunity for a free reading with your favorite Hoodoo Psychic. And, you know, before we jump in for today, I just want to say, go over to you, Reverend James. How are things going with you?
Well, as you're very aware of, we did not get a whole lot of sleep last night due to driving back from Tennessee, where we went up to join a few AIR members and a few other people in the community in Nashville, Tennessee to Aroma Gregory's and Papa G's store, and participated in the Tennessee Folk Magic Festival. There were so many people. It was so packed, but everyone was so, you know, grateful of the classes and the discounts that he offered, and, you know, everybody bumping into other people. It didn't seem to mind. It was a big old group community of fun-loving people.
You know, it really was. For those that are listening potentially from the Nashville area, if you weren't able to make it, it really was a great event. And it, in a lot of ways, kind of inspired the topic that Reverend James and I will be jumping into later today. You know, it's so great when you can experience community in the metaphysical and spiritual worlds in the way that the Tennessee Folk Magic Festival has kept alive in Nashville. An absolutely outstanding day. I he had food for days. A lot of great stuff going on. There were 8 classes that were taught throughout the course of the day. Reverend James and I being 2 of those instructors. Honestly, it was the first time in several years that we had a very large collection of AIR members in one place, the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers. We were joined by Miss Heidi Holton, who taught a course on tea leaf reading. Of course, Papa G and Reverend Roy were there. They taught a class together for the first time ever. Reverend James was there teaching a course on setting up Buddhist altars and giving a very rich background into a lot of the nuances of what goes into building these altars. I don't want to speak for you, Reverend James. If you want to share anything more, I'll leave that to you. And Miss Nikki Jean was there with us doing a class on water magic. And part of what I was saying about how this kind of inspired us for today's topic, you know, the Tennessee Folk Magic Festival, really, it's a free event. It's hosted by the Aroma Gregory Company. Aroma G's Botanica is where it's held. And, you know, it's free to the public. It's free for you to come in to meet new friends, learn new things, have new experiences, and really explore a very wide array of traditions and beliefs and practices from, you know, divination and such. And I really have to hand it to Papa G and Reverend Roy for putting on such a phenomenal event. Reverend James was not kidding. It was, in some places in the building, it was a little bit like a sardine can. But no one seemed to mind. Everyone was there. Everyone was laughing and having a good time. And for anybody that's interested, you will have the opportunity to view the classes that were held. Again, they were held for free in the store. Papa G will be uploading them onto his YouTube channel for Aroma G's Botanica. It's youtube.com/@AromaG's, G-S. Fantastic stuff.
And you can
stuff.
Also find last year's videos there as well, where I taught a class on...
moving candle spells.
Yes, thank you.
It all blurs together over time.
It really does.
But yeah, and while you're anxiously anticipating this year's lineup of classes, definitely you can check out last year's videos. Lot of good stuff out there already. He has tons of videos for different things about herbs and spell work, divination, crystals. Just you really, there's so much you have to experience it to fully grasp the width and breadth of what the YouTube channel has to offer. And like Reverend James said, you know, catching up on last year's classes, you know, Reverend James Moving Candle Spells, a 45-minute class out there for you, free to watch. Reverend Roy did Container Spells. That's out there for free. There is a class by Tish Owen of the Nashville area, Weaving the Perfect Spell for Beginner's Witchcraft. Miss Nikki Jean did Working with Your Ancestors. And if you listened to the Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places episode when Miss Nikki Jean was with us and talking about ancestors, you know just how passionate she is about the topic, just how thorough she is about the topic, and you get to see her present it live from the Aroma Gregory Company right there in Nashville.
Well, and recorded. I wouldn't say live, because she's not there doing it 24/7.
Well, yeah, you y'all know what I mean. Thank you.
But, you know, we will have Papa G and Reverend Roy on, or one of them or both of them, shortly before they, or shortly after they post those new videos on YouTube, so that they can, you know, tell us a little bit more about why they do the festival and what inspired them to do that and what may be coming up for next year.
And you'll also be experiencing many of the presenters from this year as they come and join us here on Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places over the upcoming weeks. And you know, just some ideas of what the classes that were offered this year were. I mean, they started bright and early at 10 a.m. Central Time with Ayajani teaching comprehensive energy cleansings, the four elemental layers. After that, we had Kiki Dombrowski with tarot magic. Reverend James took the stage next with his Buddhist altar implements and practices, followed by Nikki Jean's water magic. Then Papa G and Reverend Roy, a dance of shadows balancing light and dark magic. And I'm just going to leave it out there for y'all to guess who did light and who did dark. Heidi Holton.
It may not be what you think.
That was probably the most blatant hint possible. But next up, Heidi Holton was there with Tassiomancy, How to Read Tea Leaves. Then I actually had the opportunity to participate this year, taught a course on spirit communication and techniques. And the last class of the day, taught by Miss Kendall Lackey, on sex magic, and hopefully she'll be joining us to follow up on that as well here on Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places. But just an all-around great event. Wanted to especially thank Papa G and Reverend Roy for the efforts that they put in. Just outstanding.
I will say, though, that while it is a free event, if you in the future decide and plan to go and be there live, I suggest you get there early and make sure that you are early to all of the classes. The seats fill up very quick. There is usually only standing room available. And once people are back there in the area where the classes are taught, it's very difficult to get in and out.
Yeah, so, you know, all in all, though, like Reverend James said, Papa G and or Reverend Roy will be joining us on a later date to kind of discuss the festival itself and really what to look forward to next year. I have a feeling it's going to be growing. And Phyllis Margaret Gabor found your course, Reverend James. I have a feeling I know what she's going to be watching.
Great.
But, you know, and this is this festival in and of itself kind of really brings to mind, though, the importance of preserving and not just preserving folk traditions and, you know, folk practices, folk magic, folklore, et cetera, but also providing a platform really to kind of keep these traditions alive and spark imagination, spark discussion, and in a lot of cases there's already been so much lost to time, to the elements, if you want to consider, you know, like scrolls lost in caves that have been washed away by the ocean and things of that nature. But really, it's up to all of us. And if you're listening to the show, you play a part in this role as well of really preserving and ensuring the ongoing life of folk practices and folk traditions. You know, even if it's even if you think, oh, you know, nobody cares about my family history, don't discount it. Don't just put it on a shelf and leave it for, you know, leave it for later and never revisit it. Really reach out and give it the life that it deserves. You know, Reverend James.
Another thing we forgot to mention was that the Tennessee Folk Magic Festival was covered by Pagan World TV. So if you want to do a quick Google of that, they also have a Facebook page where they went live and interviewed everyone shortly before their classes. I will go ahead and tell you that it was so hot in there with so many people. My mouth was twitching. So if you watch mine, don't be surprised if I look a little strange.
Yeah, you know, it really was. I mean, it's gone a long way towards, you know, keeping, no pun intended, the spirit alive. But that's one thing too, that, you know, maintaining folk traditions, maintaining the folk lore, maintaining the folk beliefs, whatever folk word you want to insert here. It's very near and dear to Reverend James and I. It's one of the main impetus behind Folk Faith Ministries and Folk Conjure is the preservation and the continuation of traditions that may otherwise be lost to time. Doing what we can to provide, you know, kind of like that time capsule, I guess. It's also, you know, the impetus behind Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places is sharing these stories. We love when people share their stories with us. You know, we've heard some phenomenal things from different individuals, you know, just in idle chatter, if you want to consider it that, or, you know, more poignant sort of discussions. You know, our friend JD from AIR, he was joining us in the chat, and somehow I always rope you in somehow, JD. You know how that works. You know, he weaves a hell of a story of his Italian heritage and the folk practices of his family and things that were done in his experience. In discussions with Miss Kat Ironwood and Naga Shiva, it's been absolutely phenomenal to really, I mean, I have literally sat there and just listened raptly to a lot of the stories that have been shared. I'm still, if Miss Kat, if you're listening, I still think that autobiography would be a fantastic idea. But we love to hear your stories. So if you're listening and you have a story you'd like to share, send it over to us. You know, we send it, you can email us, my email, reverendart@folkconjure.com. We have reverendjames@folkconjure.com. You can send it over to admin@mysticsmagesandmagicalplaces. Send it over to our Facebook pages, our Instagram pages. You know, we want to hear these stories. We want to experience these things that, you know, that make us and our paths unique. And every family has a story. We could be, and we're here to listen. I mean, wouldn't you agree, Reverend James?
Absolutely. And if your story is quite long and it has a bunch of parts, let us know, and you know, we could put you on the air.
Definitely, definitely. I would love to do a show completely of, you know, our friends, fans, family, listeners, you know, just coming on and sharing your stories, sharing those unique aspects of your family's history, potential ancestors, or, you know, this is what my great grandmother taught me how to do in the kitchen for this, and, you know, so on and so forth. I think that would be phenomenal. And something that I would love to do even as a series of shows. So send those stories over to us. I know we've had for some of our listeners, we've had more opportunity than others to really kind of engage with, you know, some here with us today, Phyllis Margaret Gabor, Dr. Sweets, you know, Wickway is up, you know, we've had a chance to meet with you and talk with you in the chats of not only this program, but the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour. Some of you were with us. We're just going to say the day the Gremlins ate Blog Talk Radio. And we all ended up in a chat room elsewhere. Just, you know, having a good old discussion and sharing stories and sharing information and comparing notes. You know, it not only builds the knowledge and affords it that continuity and that capability of maintaining its life, but it builds community. And first and foremost, that is and continues to be one of my main goals with Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places. So, folks, send those stories over. Do you have anything you'd like to add there, Reverend James?
Nope, I already added my part.
All right. Well, you know, let's get into our topic. I think this is a good time to jump in. Let's get some announcements out of the way, and we will continue on with preserving folk traditions.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurement, Sundays 3 to 4:30, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays 4 to 5:30, the Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain in syndication, Tuesdays, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voigt, Tuesdays 4 to 5, and The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay in syndication, Thursdays. All times Pacific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org. and by hoodoo psychics. The first psychic line run entirely by hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted root worker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychics.com. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Thank you to all of our sponsors, and back to you, Reverend Art.
Thank you, Reverend James, and I totally just lost my screen. There we are. Okay. It's going to be a Monday all day long. All right. So, like we were saying in the intro segment, you know, Reverend James and I very much believe in the necessity, not just, you know, the process of, but the necessity of preserving folk traditions. You know, taking those the time to welcome that into your experience and in your life, and, you know, you find commonalities that you may never have seen between yourself and someone you may have looked at and just said, I have not a damn thing in common with you. You know, it builds bridges, not just across neighborhoods and across cities, but across countries and across time. And Reverend James and I, while we're talking about this topic for this evening, you know, some of the things that we wanted to kind of celebrate and really kind of share with everybody are some of the efforts that are being made to preserve these practices, to really ensure that they have an ongoing livelihood. Here in Western North Carolina, we are fairly, I could say, blessed, fairly gifted to be in an area where tradition really, it does carry a weight. You know, you can, as you travel around the area, you can see just how much maintaining a connection to tradition, even in the face of modernization, is paramount to life here in the mountains. You know, you talk a lot about, you know, Appalachian life and stuff. But it really does. I mean, it is almost an entity of its own.
You know, some traditions are so ingrained here that, you know, even being here in the Bible Belt, that one of the biggest and local colleges, Young Harris College, Christian College, I want to say it's Methodist, they even have a bottle tree on their property, and they proudly display it. And they, up until this past year, it was right in front of a building that they built called the, what was it? Cultural Traditions, or
it was the Cultural
building,
Center,
something
for the,
similar
for the
like
school.
That. There you go, Cultural Center, yeah. So, I mean, most Christian people would kind of look at that and go, you know, that's not something that's really Christian-like. That's kind of the devil. But there are some here that, you know, are still open-minded enough to still explore those things.
You know, you actually do see the bottle trees peppered all around the landscape as you travel in between the little bergs here in the mountains. Reverend James, why don't you share a little bit about what a bottle tree is?
Well, so a bottle tree is usually either a dead tree that has a lot of branches, or a stick that is stuck in the ground with dowels sticking out of it, kind of like a hat rack in a way, or like at the community, I mean, not the community college, at the Young Harris College, they have a metal version using rebar. And on the end of it, on each end of each dowel or rod, there's a bottle, usually, obviously, a blue bottle. Haint blue, usually, for its ability to keep away negative spirits, catch spirits. And the thought is that any spirits that are coming to you will get caught in the bottles. And then as the sun rises the next day, they become banished. And that's kind of one of the reasons why there's been a little bit of chatter of the college removing the bottle tree, because it's become expensive for them in a way. People tend to go up and steal the blue bottles for their own trees.
Yeah, that's an unfortunate side effect of having it so prominently displayed. But, you know, this year we even, I guess you could say, paid homage to the bottle tree as a folk tradition with the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. It was pretty much the icon of the symbol of the Hoodoo Heritage Festival this year. And
flyers.
Yeah, it was on the flyers. It was on just about every video and so on and so forth on the website. I think it's on hoodooworkshops.com as well.
Speaking of that, though, that is a different version of a blue bottle tree. That one is one that is in a living tree, and the bottles are hung. They are tied, you know, around the neck of the bottle, and they're hung from the different branches.
So see, even within a tradition, there's multiple traditions. But, you know, there are so many that really do strive to kind of continue these folk traditions and folk habits. Also in our area, I guess in our neck of the mountains, you know, we are very fortunate to have Young Harris College also offering courses on various aspects of Appalachian life and, you know, how things were as, you know, over the time as settlers came in, the different the different countries that coalesced together, you know, whether they were Irish, French, so on and so forth, that melting pot is very much alive and rich in the Appalachian culture. And aside from Young Harris College, there's also the John C. Campbell Folk School. If you haven't heard of the John C. Campbell Folk School, definitely take a moment and check out their website. They are going to great lengths to preserve folk practices as it was, you know, in those times of the settlers. Every summer you can take classes on a lot of the folk practices around. You can learn everything from basket weaving to making natural dyes for fabrics from the plants and the herbs that are found in the area. So many different aspects of Appalachian life continues to come alive at the John C. Campbell Folk School. And it's definitely a destination trip. If anybody is interested in going, definitely take the time, book the trip, plan on spending several days exploring the region. There are so many different sort of organizations and traditional displays that are set up to preserve the Native American history here in the region as well. The Cherokee Nation of the Native American culture was very strong in this area, and you can really see their that influence still today. You'll see, as you drive down through the mountains, you'll see, they call them barn quilts, but you'll see the influence of things like what you see in the Pennsylvania Dutch regions, with
hex signs
painted on the buildings, you know. And a lot of times Reverend James and I, we look at them and, you know, we decipher them and we figure them out. And then we wonder, you know, if the owners of said items even know what they mean. A few times we've asked, we've been told, you know, I just liked how it looked. And we've taken the opportunity on some occasions.
It's meant to be like a quilt square.
Right. You know, we've taken the opportunity on a couple occasions to kind of, you know, share the history and the fascination that arises from hearing the stories and the history in those that we've talked to. You can just see how that torch is, just by that brief little interaction, that torch has been relit and carried on. There was one gentleman who actually, of all places, was talking about hex signs while getting gas. Happened to glance over at a building across the way, and there was a hex sign on the side of the building, and he saw me staring at it and said, I've always wondered about that. And here's an opportunity to just talk to a random stranger at the gas pumps. And, you know, I had a brief discussion on it. He goes, you know, I can't wait to go home and tell my wife. She's been wondering about this all her life. And that's,
and, you know,
how
before we get too far away from the
continues.
John C. Campbell Folk School, I wanted to mention that one of the most interesting classes that I noticed that they offer every once in a while, it's not the classes that they offer aren't things that are offered year after year. It is by volunteer. And one of the classes that was once taught was a walking class, W-A-U-L-K-I-N-G. And that's a Scottish word where it involves traditionally women gathered around a wooden table, batch of cloth that or yarn rather, or fibers that are stringed together in a giant circle. And they sing Scottish songs in Scottish Gaelic as you pound the fibers to get them to stay together so that they can be woven into something. So it was a very communal thing, especially for the women in Scotland. And it's kind of neat that that was, you know, mirrored over here.
You know, I have
did we lose
that.
Reverend Art? Okay.
No, I was talking, but I hit the mute button with my elbow by accident. Mercury is still retrograde, folks, and I already struggle with technology. I haven't seen that one in the catalog. I'm going to have to start watching for that now. But, you know, the John C. Campbell Folk School does do an intense service to the region. People actually do travel from all corners of the United States as well as international to attend some of these classes that they teach. you will learn the authentic ways of doing things in these classes, the preserved traditions in a way that really and truly does preserve and pays homage to the traditions from where they come. One of the big terms that's always thrown around in this day and age is cultural appropriation. It's very much not that. It's given its due. It's given its history and celebrated for it. Another thing that is that Reverend James and I actually celebrate and actively collect is, if anybody's familiar with the Foxfire series. I know Reverend James has poured through the Foxfire books that we have, and every time we come across them in antique stores, Foxfire does still publish, although not quite the anthologies that they once were, and you are able to find reproductions of the original Foxfire books. Reverend James, I'll let you give a little bit more of the history of the Foxfire series. I know you were familiar with them long before I was.
Well, first thing I want to mention, since we've already mentioned the John C. Campbell Folk School, is that a lot of the things that you can learn in the Foxfire books, just because you read it, you may not completely understand it. At the John C. Campbell Folk School, people that usually come from the families of people that were in those books teach classes on how to do those things. But the Foxfire books originated as kind of like a school project. There were children that were asked to go home and interview their family on different traditions, Appalachian traditions. So there's things in there like how to build a still and make moonshine from scratch, how to do Appalachian clogging, how to, Art mentioned basket weaving earlier. There are sections on how to, treat wood and things so that it lasts longer for you to build things out of, like fences and whatnot. There's pages on dowsing for water witching and things, pages on soap that include recipes where you can see pictures of these, ancestors of people in this area that have, those big, people in the South, a lot of them have these big black cauldrons in their yard and they use them as planters. But you can see pictures of, old women with their grandchildren or whatnot in the picture that were being interviewed, and they're mixing up a big batch of soap. You can get the recipes for it too. There's so much in those books. There's even one that's just specifically on cooking. There's one that pretty much delves into how to preserve, how to cook meat, or how to butcher different animals for, a lot of the stuff around here was farmland at that time. So it tells you how to butcher a hog and how to put that meat up in different ways. There are different sections on canning. The one thing I will say, that the reason why I don't like to buy the books now, so the reprints, is A, they sometimes don't contain everything from the original editions. And B, the Foxfire Institute has within the past 20 years or so, there have been a lot of allegations of sexual misconduct from the man that was running it with the children that he had getting interviews. So I don't really like to, fund that particular thing. I kind of hate to talk about it, but at the same time, you know, it's best to be honest. Now, that man has passed on. He is no longer really a part of it, and the Institute is, you know, still trying to continue that whole preservation thing, which is why it's still talked about at the John C. Campbell folks. But I really don't like to, you know, support those books that he helped write as far as new prints. That's just me in particular. But, yeah, that's pretty much it. It was all children, teenagers and such that were going home and interviewing their different family members on different things and then bringing them back in, and they became these books.
Yeah, they compiled all of these collections of stories and continued, you know, they put them in one volume and really continued to do this for several years. The oldest books, I'm trying to see them from where I'm sitting. You know, you'll find them in the antique stores. You'll find them in estate sales. They really are well worth buying. And when you think about it, you know, we talk a lot about magical practice and infusing, you know, intention into every step of while you're working through a spell and things of that nature. A lot of these folk practices in the traditions of these regions, you know, Reverend James mentioned about the soap making, you know, not only does it tell you how to make the soap from scratch, it also shows you how to make the ingredients you need to make the soap from scratch. So how to, you know, make lye.
That's what I was about to say. Like the butchering the hog, that fat ends up becoming something that you use in soap. So every bit of the animal was used. That's another thing that's really strong in this area, is that if you kill an animal, if you kill something like that, especially if it's a livestock on a farm, you use every bit of it.
You know, but if you think about just how much more utilizing these sort of folk practices, folk ways in your magical practices, how much more you can, you know, take control. I mean, they talk about how to express different oils from different kinds of plants. I've read about, you know, how to make different salves and balms and lotions for injuries and such, you know, the early burn ointments, things like that. You know, you really can develop an entire magical practice just around these folk traditions. And it's interesting to think just how far you could take these stories and continue them on into the future. For those of you that do use, you know, oils and candles, that's another thing. Making candles, there's beeswax candles. I've seen recipes in there for making candles from resins from different trees. Yes, there are lard candles from the fat of the animals that have been slaughtered. They go into telling how you can make those into lard candles. And you know, my first thought was, ooh, a bacon scented candle, but you know, I think I was probably hungry at the time.
If it smells like bacon, you didn't render that fat properly. Go back and read that section.
You know, it really is a testament and kind of drives home that how important carrying these things forward is. We may live in a modern world where no, we don't need to go and do these things. We don't need to make our own soap. We don't need to make our own fabric dyes. And we don't need to even weave our own fabrics or make our own threads to weave said fabrics. But as magical practitioners, when you think about just how much more you're putting into your practice, your workings, by preserving these, I don't want to say ancient, but some of it really is an ancient practice that just it carried forward until the industrialization of things back in the, what is the 1850s and so on, when people really started to turn to machines to look and to making things cheaper, faster, so on and so forth. Doesn't always mean better.
I would say that's, you know, for the majority of the states and things, but here, that those things, you know, those books weren't written that long ago. So these things were still being done in very recent times within this century. And that's kind of one of the things that the reason why that is because a lot of the people in these areas are Christians and Southern Baptist Christians. So there's lots of, if you don't do right, you're going to go to hell and Jesus is coming. So be ready. So there's lots of doomsday preppers here. So that's one reason why a lot of these things stayed in the culture for so long, was because everybody wanted to make sure that they knew how to do things just in case everything collapsed.
And that's very true. I mean, in as regional as it is, you know, there are those of us who have been fortunate to have had, you know, elders in our family that lived through some of the harder times, you know, they learned from their parents. I mean, my great grandmother came to this country she was 3 years old in 1911. She learned a lot of the Eastern European way of life as a young girl. And, you know, she really continued that throughout the entirety of her life until, you know, she was unable to. She taught me about, you know, planting by the signs and, you know, what herbs to put next to what plants and so on and so forth, and gardening. But these folk practices and folk traditions, she carried it forward and taught, you know, to me. So being able to, so here I am able to carry these forward and share them with whomever is interested to hear. And that's kind of the key to preserving folk traditions. And if you're listening, definitely being open to listening to the stories. You never know what little anecdotal bit of evidence or information is going to come out is going to spark a revolution for you, or, you know, a whole new way of thinking, a whole new driving passion force of learning. Whether that's, you know, magical, physical, what have you. So yeah, definitely. We definitely want to extol that virtue. And when you come across people that are willing to share their stories, celebrate them, as well as allow yourself to be celebrated for sharing yours. Don't be afraid. People do want to listen. I know two people sitting here on this radio show right now who are ready and willing. So we've given a couple resources already on preserving folk traditions. And you do see, a lot of people think when you talk about these folk traditions and folklore and folk magic and so on and so forth, they really think that there's never going to be an interest in it. A lot of people, especially in this day and age where we're looking at, you know, you spend more time looking at a screen than looking at those around you. It's kind of something I personally put this out to everybody, and I put this out to people I talk to face to face, is I do challenge you to sit down and take some time and talk to people. Talk and listen. Write down these stories. Interview your family. You might not be, you know, fire-esque book, but that is going to be valuable to you beyond measure someday when you look back and you go, what was it that that Aunt Sally used to do with this, you know, this special copper pot, and you know, what was that? What was those techniques that she used? What was it that she said? These are the invaluable moments. And actually, in our chat, Troll T shared a couple other great resources for exploring the preservation of folk traditions, folk magic, www.southernspirits.org. And an organization that honestly, I'm very thrilled to know exists is the Ironwood.org website. You know, these exist.
Ironwood Institution.
Right. I'm drawing a blank at the Yippee. There it is. I love the name. It's Yippee. Yippie. The Ironwood Institution for the Preservation and Popularization of Indigenous Ethnomagicology. That's a little bit of a tongue twister, I know, but definitely worth checking out. And really deepening your understanding of the topics. I like to say, you know, it's like opening a book and just becoming enraptured in what you're reading. I've gone down several rabbit holes and lost many hours some days on southernspirits.org. It's like, oh, and this is linked to here. Oh, and now, oh, this comes over here. It's a fantastic time. Well, you've been on Southern Spirits and Ironwood.org, both, Reverend James. What are your thoughts?
Well, really quick, I wanted to go back. I just noticed JD saying, normally the glass has nothing on it, label-free, talking about the bottle trees. Not sure if they're worth anything. I think that was in response to me talking about people stealing them at the college. It's not that they're worth anything. It's because they want to make their own trees and they don't have a blue bottle and they don't want to go drink wine or whatever the reason is that they can't find a blue bottle.
I don't have that problem making my own tree. I will be more than happy to provide all the bottles for anybody. No, I shouldn't say that. I'll end up not being able to remember many hours. Back to southernspirits.org and the Ironwood and Ironwood.org. What were your thoughts on those, Reverend James?
Well, that is, Yippie is the publisher for a few of the books that you may have seen. That's the North Asian Magic, Spellcraft from Manchuria, Mongolia, and Siberia by David Shi. And Trolldom, Spells and Methods for the Norse Folk Magic Tradition by Johannes Gardbach. And there's two different kind. There's two different prints of that. I believe one is a kind of like a primer, a little shortened version of it, and then there's the larger book. I don't remember honestly what it was called, or maybe that one might not be available anymore. Maybe that was only available at one time. They have softcover and hardcover. I just checked. Okay. A while back, they had a shorter version of it that you could get. I think it was in the Baker's Dozen sale. But, I mean, the website doesn't have a whole lot on it right now entirely, but, I mean, there's some things that kind of bridge the gap for everybody. You have crystal gazing, you have dowsing, numerology, communicating with spirits and specifically spirit boards, hoodoo and root work and conjure, talking about different books and where they came from and who wrote them, such as the Hyatt books, New Thought tradition and movement, which was very a big thing for the United States, and benefits of reciting certain surahs. So I think, honestly, as well, at some point, once we get the Psalms on air as a tech team, they might also be added here perhaps to complement the surahs. So there's, you know, this page and this website will continue to have things added to it. Don't just think it's a static page. And there's also some galleries that Nagashiva and Kat have worked to get images up online and have them easily browsable.
You know, you actually made a statement that I wanted to kind of bring a little bit more to it. You know, even as an organization, AIR, the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, in support of the readersandrootworkers.org website, is also a fantastic grouping of people working to preserve information and traditions, folklore, folk magic, practices, so much information on readersandrootworkers.org. If you haven't had a chance to visit the AIR site, it is a plethora of, there's probably, I think I can safely say there's something there for everyone. And every Tuesday, the AIR tech team gathers together or convenes or whatever whatever fun word we come up with for the meeting, and puts out a brand new page, making sure at least 52 weeks of the year, one day a week, there's more information going out there on the AIR webpage. So definitely worth checking out. And I kind of wanted to kind of build a bit of a bridge here, because I looked at the time that we have left today, and it's going fast, as it always seems to do. You know, when you build, when you actively practice and seek out information about other cultures, other folk traditions and such, you know, it really does go well beyond just the informational stage. There's you are actively working towards building community. Excuse me. And I actually experienced a little bit of it this weekend in Tennessee, which I thought I was kind of caught off guard. And just mentioning a simple divination tool that is a very rich part of Asian divination styles. Talking about the moon blocks that, Reverend James, was it 2 years ago at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival you taught a class that had the moon blocks?
Yeah, I was talking about Taoist altars at that time.
But the fascination that people had and the appreciation that people shared for finding out, you know, this new quote unquote divination style, divination method, is someone else's old hat. It's been something that's been going on for, I personally, I don't know. I know, Reverend James, you focus a lot more on, you know, folk traditions and such of the Asiatic world. Why don't you share with us some folk ideas from your studies? And I probably caught you off guard.
Well, yeah, because I wasn't planning to talk about that. I thought we were talking about the history and traditions here in the United States. If you've listened to me talk on the radio show, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour, I've done quite a few different episodes on Asian magic. There are lots of things, so many things, and there are things that kind of cross over that are kind of synonymous with, you know, other cultures. I don't really want to put out a lot here. I would actually encourage you to go and listen to those episodes of the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour. That's pretty much what I have to say about that.
Very smooth.
What I will talk about, though, is we talked about Yippie, but I didn't speak about Southern Spirits. By the way, both of these websites are easily accessible, even if you forget the URL or forget to bookmark it. If you go to luckymojo.com, there are 16 small little symbols in the top left-hand corner and 16 small little symbols in the top right-hand corner. And these are categories that you can navigate through Lucky Mojo and other things such as Southern Spirits, the Candle Ministry, Herb Magic, and the Ironwood Institution. And you can also get to the Crystal Silence League, Voodoo Psychics, and AIR. Southern Spirits, it's really neat, especially if you're listening to these shows and you're probably come from, you know, wanting to learn about hoodoo, this is going to be really great for you, because Miss Cat has done all of the work for you to write up like a big bibliography of just all kinds of things, from books, magazines, and different little fragments of notes and things from different places, from practitioners of hoodoo, from African-American culture, and the way that some of the white people, the Caucasian culture, looked at those particular practices. And you can look at it through three different centuries, and she breaks it all down for you. So this is a great way and a great place to look for other places, to look for different spells, learn about different other kinds of hoodoo and things that, you know, you may not have ever heard before. Some of the things can be offensive. There is a warning on the page. So just be mindful of that. Just make sure that you're, you know, looking at this stuff from an academic perspective. It's a really great resource. I encourage everybody that's listening to this show that if you are interested in hoodoo, I promise you, you have not looked at everything on Lucky Mojo or all of the connected pages. Keep digging, keep looking. there is so much there to learn, and it's some of it's hidden, some of it's buried in there. So you really have to look for it. But when you find it, you'll be very, very happy that you took the time to do it.
It's very true. You know, there being able to find these resources and really being able to dive into them is a gift. And you can't measure the importance of a story while the story's going on. Once the opportunity to listen to these stories, to listen to the tales from our parents, our grandparents, our great aunts, our great uncles, so on and so forth. Once the opportunity is gone, that's when we start to feel the value of what it was we had. And I really encourage everyone to make that effort to not forego any opportunity to make those connections. You know, there are resources out there. We've listed more than half a dozen just tonight that are regional, that are online. The Library of Congress has an entire list of research guides on folklore. It's resources in the American Folklife Center. I'll share a link into the chat.
Go ahead.
No, finish it.
I was just going to say that I kind of wanted to, you know, at a moment whenever you had a break there, wanted to talk a little bit more about the Asian stuff really quickly. I just wanted to mention that if that is something that you are interested in learning, it also is something that really needs to be preserved. The Asian communities, especially in mainland China, are pushing these practices and traditions out the window. They're very, very sparse, and some of it is illegal. You cannot find books on them anymore. You can't find teachers anymore. So it's very much disappearing. That is one of the reasons why I'm so fond of Asian magic. And speaking of that, as a side, if we move a little over to Tibet, we have the Buddhist tradition. In the Buddhist tradition, if you ever listen to a lot of Dharma talks by gurus and things now, you will hear the phrase, we are in the degeneration age. And what that means is that the age that we're in right now, it's so much harder for people to experience the Dharma and have it make a difference in their life and to continue it, because there are so many more distractions than we used to have. You didn't have to worry about paying bills. You had a plot of land and you would build a house on it. And then that was it. You don't have any other commitments now. If you wanted to practice Dharma, you could. You could go off to be a monk. And there were people then that honored those monks. You know, now it's so hard for monks and monasteries and things to get funds because people just don't think that it's worth contributing to anymore. And even with us being in the degeneration age, Buddhism itself is partly degenerating. So again, if you're interested in Taoism, if you're interested in Buddhism, if you're interested in Mongolian shamanism, really, really, really latch on to that and try to learn as much as you can and, you know, as much as you can, pass that on.
You know, I was going to, when you started mentioning that, I was going to mention about Tibet in and of itself, but even here in the United States, and I'm sure this would be in some states something that would be wiped from the educational slate, is we've had times in the United States where we've actually actively Asian cultures into situations where they shouldn't have been. There have been, you know, it's like during World War II with, you know, rounding up Asian, those of Asian descent and keeping them, you know, in camps. You know, so Asian culture, even in the United States, well, you may not really, I mean, you'll see in different larger cities, you know, the Chinatown areas, quote unquote, the culture is in large part vastly lost on most Americans. So you, when you hear about how things happening overseas now, you kind of have a, almost not you, not anybody specifically, but, you know, people in general kind of have a disconnect in understanding what's going on in these regions, just by the fact that it's very hard to come across a common frame of reference and understanding the stories that have built up to where we are today.
And, you know, you just got through saying that, you know, the people in around Chinatown and things, they don't understand the tradition. I'm going to go a step even further and say that many of the American-born Chinese people don't know things about their own culture and tradition. They have a term, they even call it themselves, it's ABCs, American-born Chinese. They often don't speak Chinese. It's usually only their parents and their grandparents that speak it. So it's really hard for that culture and those traditions to break out from places. The only places that they're really available at the moment is Taiwan, which is why and where I've learned a lot of what I have learned about the Chinese culture, because Taiwan isn't, it's in a little bit of a limbo with whether the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, is got their hands into Taiwan versus them being an independent country. So Taiwan's rather small. And if you just look a little hop over to Malaysia and Singapore, again, that's very much very similar and to the CCP, so that they can get that funding and things, that a lot of the culture has been erased. So it's really hard. You know, if you look at a lot of Hispanic families that have come from Mexico and have been able to cross the border without getting shot and be able to make a life here in the United States. Many of those families, they keep some of those traditions. That's why we've got a lot of Spanish and Hispanic influence in hoodoo. But you'll also notice that most of them also keep their language. So the Chinese are a little bit, you know, alone in that aspect, that their culture is being completely erased.
It's very true. It's very true. You know, we are faster than I anticipated coming up on, you know, the end of the show for tonight. Again, I feel very much the need to reiterate that when you have the chance to hear these stories, take the time to listen. Write them down, record them so that you can write them down later if someone is talking too fast. You know, the more of an effort we as a collective society make, the less of these things will be lost to time. You know, I do want to share a few more references for places to explore online, since we are predominantly over the airwaves here. Not everybody has a chance to generally catch up with some of the more regional centers. But if you are in the upper, we'll say the Pennsylvania, New York-ish Great Lakes region, check out the Brushwood Folklore Center. It's just outside of Pennsylvania, right along Lake Erie, between Erie and Buffalo, New York. A lot of magic, folk magic practices take place there. They have the Sirius Rising festival that goes on in July, the Sankofa that goes on in July. Different seasonal folk traditions are celebrated really all throughout kind of that New York and Pennsylvania Peninsula region. So many Native American cultures came together there. Between the Erie's Indians, the Iroquois, and a few others. It's a fantastic region to visit and really kind of get to know more about cultures and folk traditions and folk magic of that region. The Smithsonian Center for Folk Life and Cultural Heritage, a great resource for launch pads of discussion. Just a wealth of information and something that is actively working as well to provide a voice to the stories that otherwise are just going dusty on shelves. An organization that I personally I've utilized the research from is from Penn State. Penn State University in Pennsylvania. You have the Pennsylvania Center for Folklore Collection. A lot of, if you're interested in the Pennsylvania Dutch information and things of that nature, I noticed JD had actually mentioned about Powwow and the long lost friend earlier on in the chat conversation. You know, lot of very deep roots in central. Well, actually, it's pretty much from Ohio until you get to the coast, of a very rich and vibrant history, a lot of which still goes on. The Pennsylvania Dutch have not, you know, you have your very hardcore traditional Amish families that are preserving these long lost ways. And another one that I recently came into contact with and look forward to kind of getting a little bit potentially more involved, the Center for Southern Folklore in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to share links in the chat, and so they will be there for everyone to check out once the chat gets posted. The resources
I do want to take
there.
A second. Oh, sorry. I thought you were done. Go ahead.
No. That was a perfect time.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to say that I just thought about this, hearkening back to the conversation we were talking about the Cherokee. If you decide to come down here and visit the reservation, they often teach classes on things and how their cultures work. They often do little shows and show you how they did things, because they still do things that way. And there's also a powwow / show that goes on. This, the powwow is what reminded me of this, that is called Unto These Hills. You can find that online if you Google that. I think it might be untothesehills.com, might be the actual website for it, but you can find it out. It's an amazing show, and it gives you a really deeper understanding of at least
the Cherokee culture of Native Americans. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're fine. You're fine. You know, and I do want to jump in here with this aspect of it too, is, you know, we've been talking a lot about the stories and the culture, to talk to your family and gather these stories, share these stories, keep them alive, keep them giving them life. But really, when there's a whole other aspect of this that we really didn't dive into tonight, you know, is, you know, when you attend a jazz festival because you like jazz, that is preserving cultural history. Bluegrass festivals, blues festivals, you know, these, there's a very strong cultural tie to all of these music festivals, even the modern day music. You know, you talk about the history of the 80s and such. So, you know, I joke with some of my friends, you know, in the 80s, we thought people in their 40s were old, and now we're in our 40s thinking, hey, we're still kids. But, you know, even the music festivals of the bands from the 80s and 70s, these are all cultural and very period-specific historical things to preserve. It's not just cooking. It's not just soap making. It's not making doll babies or just making doll babies and lighting candles and moving candle spells and weaving baskets. It's the music. It's those moments of that are defined by all of these features of our stories. And oh wow, that is all the time we have for tonight. Oh wow. Totally did not realize. We hope you've enjoyed your time with us this evening, as always. So until next time we meet, keep that magic alive. Keep those stories alive. Take us out, Reverend James.
Thank you, Reverend Art. Another Monday has come and passed, and Reverend Art and I want to thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next week, when we'll welcome Deborah Voice of BewitchingBee.com and Miss Elvira of Elvira.com, that's ELVYRA.com, co-hosts of The Witch, The Priestess, and The Cauldron Radio Show. We've come to the end of this episode of Mystic Mages and Magical Places, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and on the LMC Radio Network. You can find Reverend Art at folkconjure.com, on the forum Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com, on readersandrootworkers.com, and on Hoodoo Psychics Thursdays and Fridays from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and Saturday and Sunday from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm your announcer, Reverend James, joining you from folkconjure.com in North Carolina. Mystic Mages and Magical Places can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via mysticmages.com/radio show and on the Lucky Mojo Forum. Once again, thank you for being here and with us tonight. Be sure to follow at Mystic Mages and Magical Places on Facebook and at Mystic Mages Magical Places on Instagram for updates and news. We'll be back next week at the same time. Come sit a spell. Wink, wink. Relax and enjoy the show. We've only just begun. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Thank you, Reverend James, and thank you again, everyone, for joining us in the chat tonight. Thank you for joining us on the air. A lot of great guests coming up in upcoming weeks here, everybody. I can't wait to share it all with you. Take care.